Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. On the cross, Jesus redeemed us and gave us new life. We all know this, but sometimes the meaning of concepts such as redemption are not completely clear to us. Because of this, God gives us pictures to help us have a better understanding. And today we are finishing up our verse-by-verse study of God's picture book on redemption, the Book of Ruth. As we continue this story today, please keep in mind that there are three main characters, and these main characters are pictures for us. There is Naomi, who pictures Israel, Ruth, who is a type of the church, and Boaz, who illustrates Jesus. Let's now join Pastor John and see a picture of the church being redeemed.
Also he said, "Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her. That's a big bunch of barley. "Give me that veil." She holds the veil before him and she pours out 6 measures, or he pours out, pardon me, 6 measures of barley. And she goes into the city. When, verse 16, she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Who are you, my daughter?" Not like, "I don't recognize you," but like, "Oh, who are you becoming? You know, hey, there's a glow on your face. There's a sparkle in your eye. What's up, honey?" That's the idea there. And she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, "Well, now these 6 measures of barley, about 30 gallons, actually, he gave me, for he said, 'Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law.'" In other words, watch this. Think like a rabbi here. He says, "Now you give these 6 measures of barley, 6 measures to your mother-in-law. She's Jewish. Ruth is not. She'll understand. Ruth doesn't get it." So Ruth goes back with this 30 gallons, 6 measures of barley. "He gave me these 6 measures of barley," Ruth says to her mother-in-law, Naomi. Naomi, she knows how to think Jewishly, if you would. And she goes, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not rest until he has finished the thing this day." Hey, he's sending a message to me, the message of the barley. 6 measures of barley. He's not going to rest until he accomplishes his goal, which is to redeem you, to get you, Ruthie. He wants you to be one with him. He wants to be your redeemer. How does Naomi know this? Because, well, he's not going to rest until it's done. 6. Of course, she would know, Naomi would know, 6 days God worked. On the 7th day, he what? Rested. On the 6th day, God created Adam and Eve. See, the idea here is very simple. He's not going to rest. He's creating something, and he's not going to rest until it's finished. That's why there's 6 measures here. There's something being cooked up. There's something being worked out, and he's not going to rest. He's not going to take a Sabbath until he accomplishes the work that he intends to do, until he finishes it. Oh, there's a message in there, isn't there? Until he finishes the work to bring you to his side as his bride. So Boaz went up to the gate. Now, in those days, the gate was like city hall in our time. You would sit in the gate, transactions took place, business deals were done, legal matters were resolved. In a gate, you say, "Well, come to Israel," and you'll see. The gates are actually rooms. They're big. You sit in there. They're covered gates, usually. room to sit, room to do business transactions and all the rest. It was where the elders and the leaders of the city would sit, watching who would come and who would go, and giving counsel, solving problems, overseeing business transactions and all the rest. So Boaz goes in the morning, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spoke earlier, that's the nearer kinsman, the Danny DeVito character, he comes in. Boaz says, "Ho, such a one." Ho? Yeah, it's like saying yo today, you know. "Turn aside and sit down here." So he turns aside and sits down. Now Boaz took 10 men of the elders of the city. You say, now, why in Jewish communities does it take 10 men to form a community, a synagogue? Well, it's from this passage here, you see. He takes 10 men. 10 is the number of completion. 10 is the number of the complete law, you see. So he takes 10 men. That is completion. That is testimony. That is the law. Takes 10 men and sit down with them, and they sat down. Then he said to this kinsman, this closer guy, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, she sold a parcel of property, which was our brother Elimelech's, and I thought to advertise thee, to tell you, verse 4, Boaz says to this guy, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. There's some property. Naomi's back, and you know that she went into bankruptcy, and her property is up, and you have the right to take it, to redeem it, to claim it, to pay the bill on it, and to take possession of it. It's yours. She's back, and it's here, and she wants it, and you're the kinsman to lay hold of it, to take control. Well, he says, great, I will redeem it. Sure, I'll increase my holdings, my property. It's a good deal. Why not, you see? Boaz said, well, now on the day that you buy the field, you must also take Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. Well, there's a thing that comes with the property. You got to take the ladies too. You got to take Ruth specifically. Naomi's past the age of bearing kids, but Naomi, she's old, but Ruth's not, and you got to take her, and she's got to be your bride too, and you've got to impregnate her that she might have a child that will then be the son of who? Who can recall? Whose son will he be? The dead husband. That's the way it worked, see? That's what a redeemer would do. It's an amazing law in the Old Testament. That way a man's name would not die out. If he had no kids and he died, then the next kinsman that came up that married that widow, the first son that was produced would be the son of the dead guy, legally. So here he's being told, Boaz is saying to this guy that day, here's the deal. The property's yours, but you got to take the lady too and have a baby with her, see, that he might then be raised up, this son, and carry on the name of his dead dad. Oh, the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Oh, no, this complicates it. I've got kids of my own. This is going to complicate the inheritance stuff. This is going to mess up my family. Forget it, he says. I just can't do it now. You know, redeem thou my right to thyself. Verse 6, I cannot. I just can't do this. Boaz is thinking, all right, great. See, who is this nearer kinsman? Well, again, if Boaz is a type of Jesus and Ruth is a type of you and me, the church, who is this nearer kinsman? It's the one who came first. It's the old covenant. It's the law. 10 men, legal right, but unable to do the work. Concerned about the property, but couldn't deal with the people. Interesting. See, this nearer kinsman represents the law. The law was given, and the law is good and just and all of that, but the problem is it can't deal with people like you and me. We're sinners. The law tells us how we should live, and the law tells us how things ought to go, but the problem is we don't do it. We've dropped the ball. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul declares what? That the strength of sin is the law. What? See, the problem is that sin is strong in you and me because the more you know God's word, the more you study the law, the more you realize I'm sunk. I can't do this. I've failed at that. When you're first saved, you think, man, if I just quit heroin, everything is going to be great. See? But as you walk with the Lord, what do you find? It's much, 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 much deeper than that. It's attitudes of the heart. It's thinking in the mind. It's stuff that's real deep and subtle. And the more you read his word, you realize, oh no. And that's the whole point. To realize I'm not okay. I'm a sinner. I'm a slime ball. I'm a worm. I'm a weasel. I need a redeemer. I need a savior. See, and that's the whole point. The law is good, but I am not. It just shows me how bad I am. And that's the idea here, this nearer kinsman. The nearer kinsman, hey, I'll take care of the property. It's just the people I can't handle. I had a guy that was studying with me in Bible college, and it was interesting because great guy, and we were talking one night, and he says, boy, I really love the ministry. He was serving as a youth pastor at the time, along with going to school. I really love the ministry, he says, but I can't stand the people. That's my problem, you know. I love the property, you know. I love the organizing and the, you know, the property stuff, and I just don't like people. And we laughed, and I said, you got a problem. He says, yeah, I know. He became a businessman, but be that as it may, that's what the law does. Oh, we can take care of this property and solve that problem, but can you deal with the people? Can't do it. It'll mess me up. Why? Because people are messy. See, it'll mar my thing. It'll mess up my inheritance, Mr. Law said. Can't deal with this stuff. It's untidy. It's messy. That's where Boaz steps up. That's where Boaz comes in. Boaz. Well, now this was the manner, verse 7. Oh, I can't do this. So he'd take off his shoe and give it to somebody there as an outward act of saying, I'm not going to fulfill this obligation. Basically saying, I'm a heel, you know. I lack soul. I'm giving her the boot, whatever it might be. And then in Deuteronomy, in talking about this, in Deuteronomy chapter 25, it talks about once the shoe is given, the woman then, who was not being redeemed, had the right then to spit in his face. Like, thanks a lot, buddy, you know. So he would take off his shoe. I'm not going to do this. The shoe really speaks of what? Possession. Remember what God told Joshua? Wherever you put the sole of your foot, it's yours. Wherever you step, it's yours. Joshua chapter 1, later on in chapter 3, put the soles of your feet in the water, and as you do that, the waters will part. That is the Jordan River. It speaks of possession, taking control. So when a guy takes off his shoe, he's saying, I'm not going to take possession. I don't want to be in control of this situation. So she could respond with spitting in his face, according to Deuteronomy. Jesus had his shoe taken off. Away with him. We don't want him to be our goel. And they stripped his shoes and stripped his clothes too. Spat in his face. He was the rejected goel, you see. So he takes off his shoe. It doesn't say whether she chose to spit in his face or not. I'll just leave that up to you. But that's what happened. So then Boaz said, the kinsman, pardon me, said to Boaz, buy it. So he drew off his shoe, and Boaz said, you are witnesses this day. I have bought all that was Elimelech's and Chilion and Mahlon's, the sons. Moreover, Ruth, verse 10, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife. I got her. She's mine, you see. I'll take her. I've got the right to redeem her because the law couldn't. The first guy couldn't take care of the problem. Deal with the property, yes, but not redeem the people. Legal stuff, okay, but not love stuff, you see. The law couldn't do it, so it's my turn, Boaz says. The law showed us we had a need for a redeemer. Jesus is that redeemer. Now listen to me carefully. I'm almost done here, but listen carefully. It's not that he was a redeemer. He is our redeemer. That is, he continues to redeem me. If a guy is a truck driver, doesn't mean he used to drive truck. He still is driving. Jesus is a redeemer. That is, he's redeeming me, over me, calling me to his side, acknowledging me as his bride. Over and over, day by day, he's redeeming me and redeeming you too. Not just when we got saved a year ago or 10 years ago, but today, saving us from our own stupidity, from our own sin and weakness. He is there saving you and saving me. He's our Redeemer. Love it. So he stepped up and became that Redeemer, even as our Boaz stepped up for you and me and purchased us with the blood he shed on Calvary. I purchased her. He's purchased me. He's purchased you with his own blood. And the people, verse 11, that were there said, well, we are witnesses. And they said, the Lord make the woman that is come into your house, that is Ruth, like Rachel and Leah. May she be fruitful. May she be famous in Bethlehem. And so Boaz then, verse 13, took Ruth, and she was his wife. And he went in unto her, and the Lord gave her conception. She bore a son. And the woman said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord that hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, without a redeemer, that his name might be famous in Israel. The name of the Redeemer, you see. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. Naomi takes this son, lays it to her bosom. A miracle takes place. She is now nurturing this baby. She becomes, if you would, the nurse of this baby. She becomes the mother of this child, indirectly. Naomi, who was barren, who said, I've lost everything. I can no longer have children. I'm beyond the years of bearing kids, you see. Call me Mara, I'm bitter. But now God is showing her, I'm not through with you. And this baby was given to her through Ruth. And she puts this baby to her breast and nourishes this child. Wow, look what God's done for you. They called his name Obed, which means worshipped. He is the father of Jesse, who is the father of David. And these are the generations of Perez. Perez begat Hezron, Hezron begat Ram, Ram Abinadab, Abinadab Nashon, Nashon Salmon, Salmon Boaz. Salmon, by the way, was married to Rahab the harlot, for you Bible students. Boaz begat Obed, Obed Jesse, and Jesse David. Now, point this out very quickly. There's 10 generations from Perez to David. 10 generations. Perez was the illegitimate son born to Judah. Tamar, well, she dressed up like a prostitute because Judah wasn't fulfilling his responsibilities to rule over the family. So Judah then has relations with his daughter-in-law, not realizing who she is. When he finds out she's pregnant, Judah says, kill her. And then Tamar said, well, the guy that impregnated me, He owns this ring and this staff, and Judah knew that it was his ring and his staff, and goes, uh-oh, that's me. Yeah, Dad, you're the dad. Oh, no. And it's an amazing story, but all that's to say simply this. Because there was an illegitimacy, there had to be 10 generations. Deuteronomy declares that a bastard or an illegitimate child could not come into tabernacle, the sanctuary, the temple, until the 10th generation. An illegitimate child can't come in for 10 generations, but on the 10th generation, he can. And the 10th generation is David. So what you say? A couple things here real quickly. Number one, it means that, well, in Genesis 49, when God declared for you Bible students that the scepter shall not depart from Judah, even though Judah, the guy, blew it royally, from Judah is going to come the king. The scepter means the king. And now we see 10 generations later, the king, King David, ultimately the son of David, Jesus Christ. Which means this, that this guy, the first king of Israel, was named what? Who can think the first king of Israel? He was head and shoulders above everybody, good looking, charismatic, but he was not God's choice. And he was from the tribe of Benjamin. Because there had to be 10 generations that passed. God had always planned on giving his people a king, but they got impatient. We want a king now. We don't want to wait for the 10th generation where the legitimate one could come. So God says, okay, have it your way, Burger King. And he gave them Solomon. And not Solomon, he gave them Saul. And Saul was a disaster. You know the story. Seemed like, hey, Saul's our guy, but they would find out he was a big disappointment and a real problem. Simple lesson, wait. Wait for God's timing. God knows what he's doing. Had they just waited a little longer until the next generation, which was David, they would have had the right guy that God intended all the time. But God's plan still came into play because David would be the king that God promised. From David, the scepter would not depart from Judah because from David comes Jesus, the King of Kings, you see. Important. Waiting on the Lord, trusting in him that God loves me and cares about me. He's going to do what's right for me. He's my Goel. So I'll just wait at his feet. I'll say, cover me, Lord, take care of me. Even though I'm at the threshing floor, even though I feel like I'm being sifted a bit, I trust you, Lord. And he will see me through. He'll see you through too. Guaranteed. Two comments and then I'll dismiss you. But if you would take note of a couple things. Here's the thing. You have a Redeemer tonight, right now, who will cover you if you just go to the floor, go to your knees, and just say, Lord, I need your help. I just need you. I got some problems. I'm poor. I'm bankrupt. I'm impoverished. I'm heartbroken. I'm hurting. I'm in pain. I'm troubled. I'm tempted. Cover me, Lord. He will. He won't say, oh man, what's your deal? You again? Man, his covering is big. It fills the whole temple. He'll cover me. He'll cover you. He covers us every time that we choose to place ourselves at his feet. He'll be there. Take advantage of it. That's the thing you gotta know. That's the thing you can't forget. He's your bridegroom. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. See, the hero of the story is Boaz. It's called Ruth, but it's not really a story about Ruth primarily. It's about Boaz in reality. Scooping her up, redeeming her that day. Let him redeem you. I know you're already saved. I know that. But let him redeem you. Let him save you from the stuff that's causing you to be bummed and blue and grieved. Let him redeem you right now. He will. He does. His mercy is inexhaustible. Where sin abounds, grace abounds more. That's the gospel. It's the truth.
It is good to know that Jesus still redeems us. Day by day, Jesus saves us from our sin and brings us into his house. That is the gospel. That is good news.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com.
Most of us desire to spend more time in prayer, just talking with the Lord and hearing from him. But we often struggle in this area of prayer. In order to help us have a more consistent and effective prayer life, Pastor John has a book called Praying Through the Tabernacle. This book shows us a model of prayer that is based on the Old Testament tabernacle. This is a very practical tool for everyone who desires an intimate walk with the Lord. You may order Praying Through the Tabernacle from the Searchlight website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.